Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Yud Beis. We are holding on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis. We are at Vitanakama Dimei Achecha, which is about six lines before the lines get wide on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Vasimcha Allah Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. And it's also sponsored by Eliza and Aaron Hertz and family in memory of Dr. Donny Lindenberg, Daniel Usher ben Aryeh Dov, Zichron Levracha, whose second yard site was yesterday in Shemesh Shevin Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're right in the middle of a discussion of figuring out how to apply the two parshios in the Torah, one in Sefer Vayikra, one in Sefer Devarim, about Kovish Tzchar Sachir and about Lo Salin, about not paying a worker on time. So we're discussing the Machlokas about how many of the Yisurim apply to how many different circumstances when you rent something, Behema, Kalim, if you hire a Ger, all of these different circumstances. So the Gemara is going to continue with that discussion. The Gemara is going to then bring up the pasuk of Ve'elav who knows Sayas Nafsho, then we're going to try to figure out who's that about, that Ve'elav who knows Sayas Nafsho, when it comes to paying a worker on time. The Gemara is going to have a machlokas that when the Torah says that you are taking the nefesh when you are kovish schar sachir, whose nefesh exactly are you taking? Who's a person guilty of taking the nefesh of the worker who he hasn't paid? Or is he guilty of taking his own nefesh by not paying the worker and doing such a terrible avera that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to take his own nefesh? The Gemara is then going to have three different exceptions to the isser that's derived from the word itcha, which we'll see. And then the Gemara is going to have machlokas whether there's baltalin by a kablan, that a person is not hired by the day, a person is hired to do a job, and whenever he does the job is fine. So is there an isser of baltalin when you don't pay a kablan on time? And the Gemara is going to say, well, that's really dependent on a sugya in the end of Maseches Bava Kama about uman kona b'shvach kli or ein uman kona b'shvach kli, that if a person is working on a kli and improving it, so does he become the owner of that kli, or is it no, he's not the owner of the improvements that he had made in that kli? It's just that he had made these improvements and he stands to get paid for those improvements. So that's what the issue is going to depend on. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss the nature of the halacha that a socher is nishpa v'notel, and the reason for the halacha that a socher is nishpa v'notel. I mean, is it a din d'oraisa? Is it a din d'rabbanan? What's the basis for that? Normally, when a person takes a shavua, kol nishbayin or nishbayin v'niftarin, they take a shavua in order to be patur from paying. But you have a socher who says to the boss, "You didn't pay me." The boss says, "I think I did." So the socher has the right to be nishpa v'notel, that he has the right to take a shavua and then get paid when the boss thinks he paid him. So that's a chiddush. So where does that come from, that a socher is nishpa v'notel? That is essentially what Amud Beis is going to be about. So let's begin again about six lines before the lines get wide on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. V'tana kama d'mei achecha hay re'acha may avdilei. The tana kama of the braisa that darshens the lashon of the pasuk of me'achecha, who holds that we have a gezeirah Shava that links the Parsha in Devarim with the Parsha in Vayikra, and therefore all types of Schirus are included in all of the Isurim that are mentioned in Sefer Vayikra. So Re'acha is extra. What do you learn from it? From that Lashon it's Mashma that a Ger is not included in the Isur. That's what we said Re'acha teaches us yesterday, that a Ger is not included in the Isur of Bal Talin. But if you learn the Gezer Shava to link the two Parshios, you're Marba everything. You're Marba all the Yisurim. So what are you going to learn from Re'acha? So he used the word Re'acha to tell me what it says in the following Braisa. The Re'acha v'lo amaleki, that the Yisur of not paying a worker on time only applies to a worker who is Re'acha, but not a worker who is an amaleki. So many of the Girsa in the Gemara that goes to Tzion points out that in the old versions of the Gemara it says the word goy, not amaleki, meaning there are very few halachos that relate, I mean, they're very well known common halachos that relate to an amaleki and don't relate to other people, such as you have to kill them. But the idea that all the other halachos that relate to a guy, there is no unique halacha of an amaleki. There's a medrash that says that you're not allowed to have a ger amaleki, that you're not allowed to accept a convert from amalek. So that was shailas that they had after the Holocaust, when a number of Germans had a guilty conscience that their parents were killing, gassing Jews, some of them started looking into Judaism and wanted to convert. So some people had a very negative reaction to that. How can you accept a convert from Amalek? So that's a question in halacha that they dealt with. But very rarely do you have a halacha that we don't know about, that Amalek is different than any other guy. So Pashtus is that this relates to a guy, not to an Amaleki. So Re'achavalo Amaleki, it says, but really a guy. So Amaleki, Me'achechonavka, ask the Gemara, wait a second. The idea that these Yisurim don't apply to an Amaleki, we learn from Achecha. The Tanakhama himself said that we derive from Me'achecha that not Ovdei Kochavim. So since he darshins the Gzer Shava, Sachir, so it's enough to exclude a guy from the Parsha in Sefer Devarim, where it talks about Schir Laila, and then I know that he's excluded from Schir Yom as well, from the Yisur of Baal Talon when it comes to Schir Yom as well, that it says in Sefer Vayikra. So why does it have to say Re'acha? Meaning I already know to exclude a non-Jew. So Chad L'Mishra Oshko V'Chad L'Mishra Gzelo. Now I need both drashos of Re'acha and Achecha to exclude the guy. One, to exclude him from the Yisur of Oshek Scharo, and the other to exclude him from the Yisur of Gozel Scharo. Utsrichi, and I would need both. If it only would have told me that Gzelo is Mutter, so I would say that's where the Torah is Mekel on Gzelo, Mishum Delo Tarach Bey. Because it could be that the Nachri that was not Toreach in that money, he never had to work for that money that he had, that you're stealing from him, because it could just be that he yarshined it from a wealthy father, Aval Oshko de Tarach Bey. But Oshko, which is something that he actually worked for, say Emelo, I would think you cannot withhold that which he actually worked for. V'yashmin Oshko, and if it only would have said Oshko, Mishum Delos Eliade, I would think that's not as big a deal to not pay him, because he never had that money. It's he worked, but he hadn't gotten paid, so it's not money that he already had. Aval Gzelo Delos Eliade Emelo, but I would think Gzelo, which already he did have the money, I would think you're not allowed to steal that. So Tzricha, therefore, you need both of those psukim. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Hailo Talon Pula Sachir Yitcha Ad Boker My Avidlei. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Behema and Kalim are only included in the Parsha of Schir Laila in Sefer Dvarim, and are not included in the Parsha in Sefer Vayikra of Schir Yom. So the Pasuk of Lo Talon Pula Sachir Yitcha Ad Boker, which it says in Sefer Vayikra that the Tana of our Mishnah used to include Behema and Kalim, where does Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda marbe from that Pasuk? He holds that Behema and Kalim are not included in this Parsha. So Rav Asi, he uses that Pasuk to teach me what Rav Asi taught. Rav Asi, even if all you did is hire the guy to cut off one cluster of grapes from your vineyard, where it's a very, very short term of employment, all you're asking him to do is take one snip to cut off one cluster of grape. So he's not a schir yom, he's not a schir laila, he's not even a schir, he's a schir rega, you know, you're hiring for such a short period of time. Over Mishum Baal Talin, that it's still a violation of Baal Talin. Tosos explains that the Chiddush is that we're talking about such a schirus for such a short amount of time that it's not normal to hire someone for something like that, and therefore the Torah needed to be marba it if we're going to include that in the Yisra of Baal Talin. And that's how Rashi and the first day and Tosos seem to assume that it's all about the term of employment, that it's such a tiny period of time. However, Tosus then says that maybe the Chiddush is that even if the Poel eats that Eshkol that he cut down, because a Poel is allowed to be Ochel b'malachto, we had a Sugya Daf Tzadi Beis about that he's allowed to be Ochel in the stuff that he's working with, that still Rav Asi is Mechadesh, that the Baal Bayis violates Baal Talin if he delays in paying him. Guy did nothing for you. He cut down a cluster of grapes and he ate it. So I would think that you don't have to pay him. So no, it's still a violation of Baal Talin. That's the second day of Tosus. V'idach, the Tana of our our Mishnah that derives from this pasuk behema and kelim. So how does he know the yisur even for schir shaos, for someone who's just working for such a short period of time? He derives it from the pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, ve'elav unosei esnafsho, the davar hamoser nafsho alav, which tells us that anything that causes causes the sachir to be moser nafsho on, you're not allowed to withhold payment from him in the proper time. Ve'idach, and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, what does he learn from the pasuk ve'elav unosei esnafsho? After all, he holds that it does not include all types of schirus, and he cannot darshan the pasuk like the Tana of our Mishnah. So mibayle lichatetanya, he darshans the pasuk ve'elav unosei esnafsho for the following drasha. Ve'elav unosei esnafsho, the Torah is telling us how serious halanas haschar is, how serious it is to withhold payment. That ve'elav unosei esnafsho, that for this guy's work he's willing to risk his life. Why do you think this guy is willing to go into dangerous places? You know, a lot of times these workers are doing things that are inherently dangerous. I was just walking with my daughter on Shabbos, and the guy in the cherry picker fixing the wires are dangerous, the cherry picker is dangerous, everything he's doing is dangerous. What is he, Meshugana? Why is he my daughter said, I would never want to do that. I was like, I didn't envision that for you, right? I mean, why would a person be willing to do something like that? So he's giving himself over for Misa. So why is he doing that? Lo al scharo, isn't so that he can get the paycheck in the end. See, here this guy is risking life and limb in order to get this paycheck, and you're not going to pay him. So that's terrible. Now the Yehuda has a tshuva where he says, apparently you're allowed to do that, meaning normally you're not allowed to put yourself in dangerous situations. The impression you get from this Gemara is that for a paycheck you are, within reason, meaning if it's just just something that has no practical benefit, and it's just someone gets a thrill out of telling you to risk your life, so probably you shouldn't be doing that. But if it's something that's an actual job that has a benefit to it, but that comes with certain risks, apparently you're allowed to do that. This comes up in the Rabbi Yehuda in the tshuva about being a hunter. Someone asked in the Rabbi Yehuda whether you're allowed to go hunting. So he said, you know, that I'm gonna die soon. Why does he think he's going to die? You know, who talks like that? Well, someone who has a very dangerous profession talks like that. And hunting is a very dangerous profession. So he discusses whether it's an isra of salbar lechayim, whether it's an isra of putting yourself in sakana. So the Navi says, not really. Meaning it's not salbar lechayim because you're killing the animals, you're not being mitzar of the animals, and there's a human benefit to it. You're going to use the skins of the animal and things like that. It's not an isra of putting yourself in sakana because there's some benefit to it for your part. If that's what you do for your parnasa, so then it's not, and that he brings our Gemara as a raya that it's not an issue of putting yourself in sakana. He then concludes that a person shouldn't be a hunter. He says, because we look at Tanakh sometimes, all the time, not only to tell us what's asr, what's mutter, but to tell us how to think about life. All of the hashkafos hachaim we derive from Tanakh. That's what Rav Shacht always explains. That's why Talmud Chacham, that's not miskashit b'chavdal sifrei Tanakh, is not nikra Talmud Chacham. It's not because you need to know all chavdal sifrei Tanakh, to know all the halachos, to know all the dinim, but to know all the hashkafos. You need to know that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world appears through the Tanakh. So what do you see in Tanakh? Who are the hunters? Esav and Nimrod. So these are not the heroes. These are not the people that we want to be like. So that's what the Nadavi Yehuda writes in that tshuva. Rav Moshe has a similar, not about a hunter, Rav Moshe has, I think, about playing football or something, playing a dangerous sport for a profession. I don't know who is asking the shayla exactly, but Rav Moshe says that probably someone who had dreams that probably never came true, but Rav Moshe says that you're technically allowed to do it, even though it may be that one in a thousand or something like that suffers some terrible, terrible injury or death. Nevertheless, it's if it's a parnasa, you're allowed. You see, from our Gemara, person's allowed to put themselves in some degree of danger that you would not normally be allowed to put yourself in had it not been for parnasa. Davracher, another interpretation of the pasuk, ve'lavu nosei es nafsho, kolakovish schar sachir ki lunotel nafsho mimenu. That when you withhold schar sachir, it's as if you are taking nafsho mimenu, you are taking the person's nefesh from him. So whose nefesh are you taking? So Rafuna Rav Chista, charam nafsho shel gazlon, v'charam nafsho shel nigzal. So it's a machlokas whether you're taking the your own nefesh by not paying him and withholding his money, and therefore you're being mechayiv yourself misa, or you're taking his nefesh because he's not getting his paycheck. Now, some of the Achronim point out, if you're taking his nefesh by not giving him your paycheck, so then you're a shtikl rotzeach, and if you're a rotzeach, you're chayiv misa for that. So either way, it's definitely nafsho shel gazlan. It's just the question of, is it also nafsho shel nigzal? Nafkamina would be, even mitzad the gazlan, that the rotzeach is chayiv saif, which is a misas based in. The Gemara in Ksuba says that even though but the misas based in, but someone who's chayiv saif is nimso the malchus or listen boyim alav, meaning din dalad misos lo batlu. The dalad misos Kodesh Baruch Hu will still carry out through Ashkacha. He'll make it work out that the person will die in such a way. Whereas if it's not enough shel shel gazlan, it means misa bidei shemayim, and then you don't have din dalad misos by misa bidei shemayim. Okay, whatever it may be, but that's the machlokas, whose nefesh exactly you're taking. So mandi amar nafsho shel gazlan, the one that says that kovish schar sachir is taking the gazlan's nefesh, his own nefesh, by not paying. Where does he get that from? The chsiv paskin mishle says, al tigzol dal ki dalhu, don't steal from a poor person, nebuch is poor, val tedake oni v'sha'ar. Uksiv, and the pasuk says about stealing from the poor, ki Hashem yariv rivam v'kava is koveyem nefesh. So the pasuk means that Kodesh Baruch Hu punishes the gazlan for such an avera by taking his nefesh from him. So the Amora that explains the Brisa that kovi schar sachir is as if the gazlan is taking his own nefesh derives it from those psukim in Mishlei. Umandi amar nafsho shel nigzal, and the opinion that says no, you're taking the nefesh of the guy that you're stealing from, d'chsiv, because the pasuk says kein orchos kol botzei betza es nefesh ba'alav yikach, that you're killing the bailum of the mammon that got stolen. So that's talking about the nefesh of the nigzal, because it says ba'alav, that can't be about the gazlan, and therefore the shita that says that you're taking the nigzal's nefesh is derived from that part of the psukim in the Mishlei. V'iduch nami, but according to the shita that holds that it's nafsho shel gazlan, what do you do? Haksiv es nefesh ba'alav yikach. What do you do with the lashon of ba'alav? L'chora, that's about the nigzal and not the gazlan. So ba'alav da hashta. It means the bailum of the mammon right now after the gzela, meaning the gazlan who now has the mammon. So that's whose nefesh you're taking. V'iduch nami haksiv akavas koveim nefesh. What does the shita that holds that it's nafsho shel nigzal do with the pasuk that seems to indicate that it's the nefesh of the gazlan? So Gemara says, even according to him, the words v'kavas koveya mean that Kodesh Baruch Hu will punish the gazlan, but the word nefesh that the pasuk goes on to say is not explaining the essence of the onesh that we take his nefesh. Rather, it's matam ka'amar. It's saying, what's the reason for this onesh? Matam, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to punish the gazlan in such a serious way? Kova es koveyem, he took the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take the nefesh of the gazlan, mishum denatl nefesh, because the gazlan took the nefesh of the nigzal. Meaning, ein chinami, the gazlan, like we said before, he's a rotzeach, he's going to be chayiv misa. But why is he chayiv misa? Why is he punished so severely? Because of what he did to nefesh, what he did to the nefesh of the nigzal. So the shita that holds nafsho shel nigzal, in the end of the day, holds that it's going to also be nafsho shel gazlan. It's just that the word nefesh is a reference to the nigzal, and then because of that, he's a rotzeach, and he's taking his own nefesh as well. Okay, period. Now we go back to what the Mishnah said. Emasai bizman shetva'o, but lo tva'o eino over love. We said, when does a balabayis violate baltalin? That's only if the worker had asked for the money. But if the worker never was tovea the money, then he's not in violation of baltalin. So says the Braisa, tan rabanan lo salin pu'ula sachir, so yachal af afilu lo tva'o. I would think that you're in violation of Baal Talin, even if the guy never asked for the money. So tamalomar itcha. So that's why the pasuk says itcha lidaitcha, that it's only when it's only you who are interested in holding back the money, whereas the sachir is not on board with that plan. But if the sachir was never tavea the money, we could assume that he's also on board with that plan. That's why he never asked for the money. He's okay with the fact that you haven't paid him yet, and therefore it's not going to be a violation of Lo Talin. So the Brisa learns from Itcha another way that you're not in violation of the Yisur. Yachal afilu ein lo tamalam itcha is sheyesh itcha. No, don't we learn from another limud that we learn from Itcha is not only that if the Sakhir hasn't asked for the money, you don't violate Baal Talin, but also it's if you don't have the money, you don't violate Baal Talin. That it's only a violation of Baal Talin if Itcha, if the money is with you, you have the money in your pocket, and you're choosing not to pay the worker. But if you don't have the liquidity, you don't have the cash, you don't have the ability to pay the worker, so then you're not going to be in violation of Baal Talin. So that's what the Rishonim point out. The Rush points out that if you may have a lot of schora, you may have a lot of merchandise that maybe if you were to quickly sell at a discounted rate, you will then have the ability to pay the worker, but you don't have to do that. It's not a violation of Baal Talin because what you owe a worker is cash. What you owe a worker is not the merchandise. You're not allowed to pay a worker with merchandise. He can insist that he gets cash. So if you don't have any money, you're going to be potter, even if you have a lot of schora, a lot of metaltalin. Yachal afilu imchau etzel chenvani v'etzel shulchani. I might think that even if you told him to go to the payroll company, to go to the chenvani or the shulchani, and that they're going to take care of him, and they end up not taking care of him yet, tamalomer itcha. So I might think you're still in violation of Baal Talin. That's why the pasuk says itcha v'loshem chavetzel chenvani v'etzel shulchani. Once it's been handed off to the chenvani or the shulchani, you're no longer in violation of Baal Talin. So essentially, from the word itcha, we learn three exceptions to the Isra of Baal Talin. That normally, when you don't pay a worker on time, you're in violation of Baal Talin. But from the word itcha, we learn three exceptions to that rule. Exception number one is if he hasn't asked for the money yet. Exception number two is you don't have the money. And exception number three is himcha etzel chenvani v'etzel shulchani. You already handed it off to a chenvani or a shulchani. So himcha etzel chenvani v'etzel shulchani ain't over. We had mentioned in the Mishnah already that idea that if you already gave it off to a chenvani or a shulchani, you're not in violation of the Yisr. So Yibayiluhu, they weren't sure. What if the Balabayas told you to go to the Chanvri? The Chanvri didn't pay. So now, Choser, O'enu Choser, can the Sakhir go back to be Tovea from the Balabayas, since it's not considered, the fact that you sent him to the Chanvri or the Shulchani is not actual payment that potters you? Or Enu Choser, he can't go back to the Balabayas because it's already the Chanvri's responsibility. So Rav Sheshi Samar Enu Choser, Rabba Omar Choser, Machlokas where do I get the idea that the Sakhir can go back to the Balabais? Midiktani, from the Mishnah that says the Patur of the Balabais who has handed it off to the Chanvani or Shulchani, Eino over a love. It says Eino over a love. Mavru de lo avar hamahadar hadar, which makes it sound like that's the extent of it, that you've now avoided Baal Talin, but you still got to make sure he gets paid, and therefore he can come to you and he can demand payment. Rav Sheshes Amar, my eno over, eno betoras lavar. Eno over means that he's not able to, he's not only that he hasn't been over, but even mikano laba, he can no longer be over Baal Talin in any which way, because it's no longer his responsibility. It is now the Chenvani and the Shulchani's responsibility, and the Sakhir's whole taina is on the Chenvani and the Shulchani. He does not have the ability to go back to the Balabayas. Okay, new discussion now. Baimine Merav Sheshes. They asked Rav Sheshes the following. Kablanus over lo mishum Baal Talin, o ein over mishum Baal Talin. Let's say a person works as a kablan, a person works as a contractor, meaning he's not hired to work by the day, by the hour. He's hired to do a job. And whenever he does the job, he's going to get paid for finishing the job. Is there a violation of Baal Talin in such a case? So the Gemara assumes that certainly a stam kablan has a regular din of a hired worker where there would be a violation of Baal Talin. That the whole issue must be in a case of a kablan that's working on an item and making improvements to that item. And that's where the shaila is there Baal Talin. And therefore the shaila boils down to, uman kona b'shvach kli v'halvahi, Do we assume that whatever value he's adding to the kli that he's working on, he becomes the owner of that value until the guy who owns the kli pays him for that? And mimeli, when you return it back, it's as if you are selling him the shevach that you made and you now own in that kli. So it's like demei mekach, and therefore it's a halva'a. We view it as if it's money that is being loaned by the balabais, and it's not really pula sachir. It's a halva'a because I own it, and when I return the kli to him, and he hasn't yet paid me back. It's a purchase that he hasn't yet paid for, and that's viewed as a halva'a. Or do we say no? And therefore it's a real schirus, and it's not a halva'a, and therefore it's a violation of the yisur baltalin if he withholds payment, or delays payment. Samler of sheshes. Over, you do violate Baal Talin if you delay the payment, because ein uman kona b'shvach kli. Now again, that sugi of uman kona b'shvach kli is a sugi of b'kamet of sadi ches. There are other nafkaminas, whether uman kona b'shvach kli. The Gemara says over there that if uman kona is b'shvach kli, then he could be mekadesh nisha with the shvach kli, right? Meaning the uman has made improvements to this kli that have material benefit to it, that are actual, there's monetary value to the improvement. So if he takes that kli that has monetary value to the improvements, mekadesh nisha with it. If uman kona b'shvach kli, she's mekudeshes. There's also discussion about what exactly the kinyan is that he has, that he was kona. Is it a kinyan gamur, or the shvach is only kona a kinyan that a malva has in a mashkon that he gets from a lova? Okay, there's a lot of discussion over there in Maseches Bava Kama, but this is one of the nafkaminas. So amul Rav Sheshes over. Rav Sheshes is over. So v'atanya, but wait, we have brisa that says eino over. So it says, where a hasam, the brisa that patters is talking about shimcha veitzel chen v'ni veitzel shulchani, where the reason you're ain't over baltalin is not because of the discussion of woman come to shvach kli, it's because you already handed it off to chen v'ni or shulchani to take care of. So neima misayele, maybe we have a raya to Rav Sheshes from a brisa, because the brisa says hanosin talisa lu'uman. If you bring your talis into a tailor to fix the talis, gemara v'hodio, and he finishes the job, and he lets the Bala Talis know that it's ready, you can come pick it up, but the guy hasn't yet come to pick up his Talis. Even if it's been 10 days later, Eina over Mishum Bal Talin. It's not a violation of Bal Talin, because so long as he's still holding on to the Talis, it's as if he has a Mashkon from you, and when he has a Mashkon, then there's no Bal Talin, because it's as if he's already been paid, because he's holding on to the Mashkon. That's the way Shita Mugvetzas understands this Gemara, that it's a Mashkon. That since it's a mashkon, there's no baltalin on a mashkon. But if then you deliver the talis to the guy, even if it's in the middle of the day, at the after 10 days, that day shkia, he violates baltalin if he hasn't paid you for it yet. I mean, the second you no longer have the talis, then baltalin starts kicking in. But if you say uman kona b'shvach kli, why should it be in this sort of baltalin? After all, if you say uman kona b'shvach kli, it's a halva'a. I'm selling him the shvach that I made in this kli, and therefore it's only a halva'a. So Amar Brei Rav Kahana begarda de sarbala. That no, from the brisa it's not a raya, because it could be that the brisa is not talking about a regular uman who's fixing a talis where he's being mashbiach the talis. It could be that he's doing something to the talis that actually takes value away from the talis, but it just makes it more wearable. That he does some sort of combing or something to the talis that softens it up, and therefore makes it more comfortable, but it also adds wear and tear to the talus, which means it has a shorter lifespan that talus is going to have. So there is no shvach kli, and in such a case, you're obviously not going to say uman kona b'shvach kli. But in a case where there is shvach kli, maybe in a chinami, you will say uman kona b'shvach kli. So it says, well, lemaya havi na'alei, what did you give it to him? For l'rakuche, you wanted him to soften it. Well, hainu shvache, that is a shvach, meaning if he's doing what he's supposed to do with it, and it becomes materially better, more comfortable, so that is considered a shvach. So it says, okay, I'll come up with something else that's not a shvach. So it's not softening it. It's l'tzricha tzricha to ka'agre mine levatushe. You asked him to trample it or press it or beat it, bacho bimasa, and each one that the each pounding you give it, you get a certain amount of money for it, but for some reason it prepares it for some future improvement, but it's not an actual physical improvement. I don't really understand exactly what the begadim were like and what exactly they were doing, but the point is that there's no shvach kli, and if there's no shvach kli, so then you can't enter into the discussion of uman kana b'shvach kli or ein uman kana b'shvach kli. Okay, so now Amud Beis switches the discussion of to the line in the Mishnah that we said a sachir bizmano is nishma v'notel, that a worker tells the balabayas, look, you haven't paid me yet, and balabayas says, I believe I have paid you yet. So if it's bizmano that the time for paying has not passed, so the sachir has the right to take a shavua and to get paid with the shavua, that it's all within his control. All he's got to do is take a shavua. So says Gemara, sachir amaita kinil rabbanon limishtava v'shakil. Why were the chum misakin that a sachir could take a shavua and get paid for that? L'chora, it's the balabayas who should take the shavua that he's not chayiv and be potter. That's normally the din, meaning in the zman of the Mishnah, they still were not misakin a shavua's hesus by a kofra kol, and a nitva is not chayiv a shavua unless he's modav mixas. So it's a little bit strange that in our sugya we assume that it's the balabayas that is chayiv a shavua min haTorah. So that's a little difficulty, but the assumption is certainly on a drabbanon level, the balabayas is the one that should be nishba v'niftar. But there's no din that the sachir could be nishba v'notel. So says Gemara, Amar Shmuel, halachos gedolos shanu kan. There are major halachos over here. This is a major halacha. The chiyuv shvua and the sachir is from the halachos that they made. So ani hilchsaninu. Wait, his ability to take a shvua is hilchasa? It's halacha implies halacha moshmi Sinai. Hani takaros ninu. This is clearly only midrabanan. So how could Shmuel refer to it as halachos gedolos? Sounds like it's halacha moshmi Sinai. Elam Rabbi Dom Shmuel takaros gedolos shanukan. Okay, it's the wrong formulation. It's not halachos gedolos. It's takanos gedolos. Meaning enochinami. It's a takanos chachamim. That's a major takana that they were misakein. What makes it a major takana? There was a real need for it. It was a tzorich gadol that they were masakin for. Gedolos, mechaldika ketanos. So asking more from the fact that it says gedolos, that implies that the other takanos that the chum were masakin are ketanos, meaning that everything outside of these takanos, everything outside of kan, is takanos ketanos. So what does that mean? That this is a bigger need than any other takana the chum made? Every takana that the chum made are for its tzorech gadol. Elo amrav nachman amr shmuel, takanos kavuos. So we started with halachos gedolos, then we changed the word halachos to takanos, now we changed the word gedolos to kavuos. So we changed both words, and it's just a totally different phrase. That takanos kavuos shanukan, that these are takanos kavuos, because even though it's being okadav minatorah, because minatorah, whenever you take a shvua, it's nishba v'lo mishalmin, and over here it's nishba v'notel. Normally when you're taking a shvua, it's to take a shvua to get out of having to pay. And over here a guy is taking a shvua in order to get paid. Shvur, the balabayas, see, that the shvur really should belong in the realm of the balabayas. Vakur rabban the shvur the balabayas v'shadu ha'sachir, but the rabban took away the shvur from the balabayas and gave it to the sachir. Why? Mishum k'dei chayiv the sachir, so that he'll be able to get his salary to be able to live. So says Gemara, mishum k'dei chayiv the sachir mafsadin le'el balabayas. Why does that make any sense? Everyone needs to make a living. Balabayas needs to make a living, and part of his making a living is not to have a payroll that's unfair. Meaning he shouldn't have to make payroll twice. So you're going to make the balabayas lose out because of the kedei chayiv of the sachir. So it says, well, no, in a certain sense, the balabayas prefers it this way. Balabayas gufe nichle de mishtav sachir v'shakil kiyech dilatagru le'paalim. He doesn't want anyone, any of his workers, walking out at the end of their term of employment saying that he stiffed me, that I couldn't get paid from the guy, because then no one will ever want to work for his company. So the only way anyone's going to ever want to work for him is if everyone feels that they have it within their control to make sure that they get paid. Says Gemara, okay, but by the same token, sachir gufei nichle de mishtav balabayis vivka. Maybe the sachir wants that the balabayis should be able to say that that he already paid and be part from paying kiyech deligruhu, so that he's not going to get a reputation as a difficult employee who forces the hand of his boss to pay him twice. Meaning everyone needs, whenever you have an employee and employer, the employer needs the employee and the employee needs the employer. So it's just the way it works. So it says, Balabais al karche agar. Nah, the Balabais is going to have to hire workers anyway. So, he's going to need the workers no matter what. Well, Sachranami bal karche itkar. Yeah, but the worker is also going to need to work. So he's going to need to, meaning it's a symbiotic, mutually beneficial relationship. Ela Balabais tarud bepolimu. Now, the real svara over here is that the Balabais is less likely to remember whether he paid the worker. That's the bottom line. The Balabais is tarud bepolim. He has to pay so many workers. It could be that one of them he didn't pay yet and he forgot. So, Iachi, if that's the case, that the Balabais is so tarud bepolim that he's not neman to say that he already paid, nesiv lebloshvua, then we should pay the sachir without the sachir having to take a shavua. Meaning, we're assuming that the Balabais doesn't remember anything. So, if you're assuming the Balabais doesn't remember anything, so then just pay the sachir. So, it says, but the Balabais really doesn't think, he really thinks he already paid the guy. So, in order to calm the Balabais down, to make him feel better about the fact that he has to cut another check for this worker, so we make it doesn't come free. The guy's going to at least have to take a shavua. So, that's the takanas chachamim. Tosfos explains that it's not like eni yodea imperaticha, because the love himself says eni yodea, and you don't have to be mafesis daito, so they were not misakin a shvu over there. But over here, he really thinks he paid him. So asking Marav Nesav lebe'edim, why didn't the Chacham make a different takana? Just say that whenever you hire a worker, paycheck should only be handed out in front of Edim, and therefore you're not going to have any sveikos whether it was paid or not. And if the Balabais claims that he paid, we'll say, where are the Edim? And if there are no Edim, then you didn't pay. We're not going to, so you don't have to institute shavuos. Why do you have to make a shavua? So the Chum didn't want to be misakein that you have to only pay in front of Edim, because trichlu milsa. It just adds a layer of complexity to running the whole business that you always have to grab Edim every time you want to pay anybody. So v'nesiv leimei. So the Chum should have been misakein that you should give at the beginning of the day before the work happens, and if the Sachir says that evening that he never got paid, then he wouldn't be believed, because the Takanas Chachamim would have been that he should have gotten paid much earlier in the day. So says Gemara, Shnehem Rotzim Ba'akafa. The Chum didn't want to be misakein that, because they both want that the payment should only come at the end of the day. The Balabai is not interested in paying at the beginning of the day, because sometimes he doesn't yet have the money to pay. The Sachar doesn't want to receive the money at the beginning of the day because he's afraid he's going to lose the money. He'd rather know that he's taking the money as he's about to go home, right? So he wants to take the money home with him. He doesn't want to have it as he's working in the fields all day and he could drop it or anything else. So no one wants to get paid at the beginning of the day. Everyone wants to get paid at the end of the day's work, and the Balabais is interested in doing that. So that was not an option of a Takana to make, and therefore they were Masak in the Shavua. Iach, if that's the case, that which you take from the Balabais with the Shavua, that the Sachir is Nishma V'notel, is because the Balabais is so busy with his Poelim that we think he may have forgotten, then Afilu Katzitznami. What if the dispute was not about whether the worker was paid? What if the dispute was about what the agreed upon salary was? So shouldn't we say the same thing? That the Balabais is so tar bepol of that he's not going to remember what the agreed upon salary is, and therefore the worker should be believed to take a Shavua that this was the agreed upon salary and that's what you owe me? Alama Tanya, why does the Braisa say not that way? That Umanomer Shtaim Katas Liva Lo Omer Lo Ksasi Lucha Ela Achas. If the employee says, will you agree to pay me $2? And the employer says, no, the agreement was $1. Hamotzi Mechaver Lo Varaya. That we say that it's that you don't have to bring a Raya, that the agreement was for the higher salary, because the Balabais is Mufzak in the Mamon. So you see that when it comes to a dispute about what the wages were, even though the Balabais is tarud bepo'olav, and it's likely that he's making a mistake, we believe him. So says Mark Tzitz Avada Mitka Dekir Le'inshi. No matter how tarud bepo'olav he is, he remembers what the salaries are. He knows what the basic pay structure is. He's just not going to remember if he actually paid the guy. Ihach yafilu avarzmanu nami. So if that's the case, even when these Tovea, the Balabais, after the time for payment, we should still be masakin that the sachar should be nishba v'notel. Alama tanan, why does our Mishnah say not that way? Our Mishnah says, avar zmano eino nishba v'notel, because chazaka in balabayis over mishum baltalin. Va'amrit balabayis tar b'palavhu. We said in our Mishnah, oh, there's no way the balabayis would have violated baltalin. So if it's already avar zmano, now we believe the balabayis had already paid. But based on the svara that we're saying, that a balabayis is always tar b'palav, so what's so schwer to assume that he violated Baltalin unwittingly? He was just caught up with something. So Hanimili, that whole idea that he's Tar B'Pol is Mikame Delimtime Zman Chiyuve. That's before the Zman Chiyuv came. Aval Matz Zman Chiyuve Ramei Anafshei Midkar. But once the Zman Chiyuv to pay already came, then we assume he'll buckle down and focus and he'll realize that he hasn't yet paid. He's going to remember whether he paid or not at that time. Okay, B'Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the top of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Everyone have a great day.